numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is hour number two of a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy Monday. Glad you joined us. It is Matt Brown filling in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. And talked a little bit of NFL. We'll get to some more NFL later in the show as well. Some of these odds are moving. Some of the things, does the trickle-down effect actually mean anything? We will try to get to the bottom of it all for sure. But Kelly, you have been out at NBA Summer League. Certainly want to get your opinion on not only just the experience in general, anything that was going on out there. And of course, we have come to the finals over there in that as well.
Yeah, great week of Summer League. We had some great coverage down there. Thanks to all the crew and everybody who joined us on the different shows that we had here at VSiN out at Summer League. It was really great. Wrap up tonight with the final, Rockets and Cavs, undefeated teams, Matt Brown.
There we go.
Man, the Rock. This is way too inside basketball. I don't know if I'd be betting on this. I've made one Summer League bet, and that's when JVT and I were sitting out there, and we were looking at the Pistons-Raptors warm-up, and we were like, wait, I think there's some guys missing from this Pistons team that are supposed to play. So, like, that was the one bet I've made. Like, we're looking at a 3.5-point spread, I think, on this game tonight. Jazz favored by 3.5. Cavs favored by 3.5 in this game against the Rockets. I guess, if anything, I would lean the Rockets' way. Cam Whitmore's been incredible. That is probably the story of the Summer League for me, is that a guy that I had a bet on to be drafted top five, ends up having some medical whatever come through and gets dropped down into the 20s. He looks like a lottery player so far in the Summer League. And because of where he was drafted, simply is why he's playing all these games. And, man, he's looked incredible so far, Matt. And this Rockets team, I got to give some respect to because I threw a couple futures bets in the Summer League. They knocked out each one of the teams I made futures bets on. So they've been really, really impressive. But it's not about exactly the betting or the basketball. Mm-hmm. It's about getting to see some of the future of the NBA and some of these prospects. I know JVT's made a Rookie of the Year bet on Cam Whitmore simply because of kind of everything he's seen out there and the long odds that he was able to scoop up on him. That he was about 100-1. He's down to about 20-1 to win Rookie of the Year now. But, yeah, so I get a great idea of some of the – some of the sophomore players too, right? We saw Chet Holmgren's been awesome from what we've seen. Obviously, we didn't get to see any of him last year during the regular season. I think the other guy, it all circles back to the Rockets to me, but Jabari Smith having a huge summer league, you know, after a semi-quiet rookie season last year. So I think it's a lot of those things to keep your eyes on some of these younger players and younger teams as we project forward to next season.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Listen, complete transparency, I had it on ancillary, secondary televisions. I never had it on the main TV, so I didn't hear a lot of the commentary and didn't hear some of the stuff. I mean, it was certainly interesting, certainly something that this time of year kind of helps out because we're in the doldrums really of the sports betting calendar. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. I thought it was certainly something that has a place, I guess, on the sports betting calendar, but I don't know day in, day out, unless you are really, really grinding it. And honestly, like you were saying, almost have an inside in look at who's going to be playing and who's not, how you can make super, super confident bets in all this. Because again, we have no idea what the minutes are going to be for any of these guys as they go in. We don't know when they're going to decide to shut guys down, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an interesting betting vehicle anyway.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that I forget what team it was, the Hawks maybe, I think it was the Hawks, where we saw, we always question motivation too.
Yes.
And there's certain point differentials, one of the tiebreakers for you to make it in these playoffs. So like, there's a couple teams that you're out there, like they're just kind of going through their normal motions as you would expect at the Summer League. This is still a bit of an exhibition. And then you got one or two teams knowing that there's basically a point spread that they need to cover that you see actively trying to do that.
Right.
So it's a cautionary tale for bettors, but if you've got information, it's a great information betting event, and I might have only made one bet, but it was a fairly easy cash because of getting the information right there.
So some news coming through here, Kelly. This is the NFL. It says, are you ready? Hard Knocks training camp with the New York Jets premieres August the 8th. So it will be August the 8th, New York Jets on Hard Knocks. Can you imagine what Aaron Rodgers is going to be like on this show?
Miserable. He's already miserable.
He is going to be the dude that every single time the camera is pointed his way, he's just going to stop talking.
Yeah.
Or he's going to turn away from the camera to lie. He is going to be the worst Hard Knocks character. And I say character. They're all real people, but you got to
say. They'll get him. They'll get him still.
They'll get him. But he is not going to be the dude who just like sits and just has a conversation with the camera. That would blow me away. Could you imagine? What if Aaron Rodgers is just in on the joke? And we tune in, and in episode one, it is just him sitting there baring his soul to the camera. It's him sitting down, talking about his retreat, his in the closet thing for whatever, talking about his ayahuasca. What if it's him just baring his soul to the world into the camera, and we're just all like, this is not what I expected at all. There's no way this is happening.
That, or he bought like ice cream for everybody who attended training camp or something like that. Yeah, not exactly what I'm expecting to see out of Aaron Rodgers. But like, there's too many cameras. He's not going to be able to escape something. Who has the toughest
job? His microphone's going to accidentally get broken. Whatever.
Okay, so that might happen, right? Yeah. Whoever has to edit his stuff, that poor soul is who I feel for. Because you're right. There's probably a lot they'll have to edit around. I guarantee you we still get some Aaron Rodgers good stuff, though.
Yeah, I get it. I know why you wouldn't want them to be there. Certainly, it's going to be a circus enough because Aaron Rodgers is in town and it's in New York. I mean, listen, it's Aaron Rodgers in New York. Enough. Like, you're going to get all the cameras, all the pub, all the press as it is. Anyway, now add in the fact that they get behind-the-scenes footage and insider kind of info stuff. The one thing I don't really buy into, Kelly, and those, I mean, look, we're not coaches, and certainly, so maybe there's stuff that slips by us or something, but, like, one of the things I hear is, well, you don't want them in there because you don't want your opponents, like, seeing what you're doing. You don't really get a ton of on-field stuff throughout the course of these shows. I mean, you see them throwing like a few passes here and there. You see but it's typically like the backup quarterback throwing to a rookie wideout who's trying to make the team or something. Like, you're not really like revealing plays and showing strategy and stuff like that. So I didn't really get that gripe about not wanting them inside your locker room. It's typically more the storyline of some rookie who's struggling to make the team or whatever. Like, that's only real plays you see kind of anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that too, because we were like in a past job, we totally ripped off this idea and applied it to both college and high school football
right.
in South Florida. And every coach is extremely concerned about that, right? If God forbid I get play number 78, on tape, right? So it was very simple. What we always did, Matt, it was be like, hey, if you don't want something, just wave at me or wave at the camera guy or something like that. And camera either
we'll
goes
time
down
code it or
we time code and make sure to edit around it. Whatever you're seeing, it's always stuff like you're talking about. It's to whatever rookie wide receiver on just a go route or something like that. It's not going to matter anyways.
Listen, love him or hate him, there's no denying that Aaron Rodgers at least is a fascinating character in all of this. And how he goes about treating this is going to be really the story of all of this. I know we're going to be looking at a team that is supposed to be much, much better this year. A team that really, when you look at the quarterback play that they got last year, kind of overperformed. I mean, now you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers, and you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers with some of his dudes that he feels comfortable with to go along with some of that good young talent that they've got there. Certainly the expectations are through the roof for this Jet squad. So, yeah, that'll be intriguing anyway, just to kind of see all of that. But, look, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the star of the show, whether he wants to be or not. I am just very fascinated as to how he is going to go about being in front of the camera. Is he going to just throw a curveball at us, be actually personable, sit there and actually answer some of the questions that they give him? Or is he going to be the dude that every time a camera's pointed at him, we see him look down, or he turns away, or he pretends that his microphone's not working, or whatever it is? And in any way, it'll be entertaining.
Yeah, it really will.
So that's August the 8th, by the way. August the 8th.
August the 8th, okay.
So we've got a couple weeks.
Who do you think
going
to be the breakout star on that one?
So I've always get this wrong, right? Because I always thought that they would focus on kind of like the second year guy that had a really good rookie season And then like, that seems like a natural guy to latch onto and talk about, man, if you thought he was good his rookie year, look at what's going to happen this year. That obviously would be Garrett Wilson. It seems like
totally
he would be
leading you with that.
It seems like Garrett Wilson would be like the obvious choice here. It's like, hey, this guy was awesome last year with a hodgepodge of quarterbacks that don't have jobs this year. And look at what he's going to possibly do with Aaron Rodgers while he's one of the big budding stars in the league. But they really haven't done that. Like, every time I think I've got an idea of where they're going to go with all this, like, it hasn't really gone that direction. So I don't know. I don't know.
I think that's well said. Every year I feel like I'm looking forward to seeing person X too, and then you barely see them. Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do, but we're gonna certainly at least get a little bit of Aaron Rodgers along the way. Didn't mean to derail our summer league, but listen, that's going to be a very, very talked about series. It's probably the most highly anticipated in quite some time, given not only the city that it's going to be taking place in, not only the team, but of course the guy that is the surefire first ballot Hall of Famer that is going to be quarterbacking the team there as well. So August 8th there for that. So Kelly, any final thoughts here from a betting aspect from the NBA Summer League stuff? I mean, I think you're basically just saying if they're going to give me 3 points or 3.5 points, depending on where you look at it, it's either juice 3 or 3.5 around the industry. So to be sure and take a look. But you're basically like, I'll just take the points here because not a lot separates these two squads.
Yeah, I wouldn't even take the points. I'd take the money line. I think you're really look, there's some roster familiarity we have at this point with these two teams. But yes, every game you're seeing less and less or different players play because less and less playing time from the guys that are more skilled. So I'm really saying, Matt, I thought this would be closer to a pick 'em with where these two teams are at in the summer league. Fine, you're giving me a few points. I'm just going to take the extra boost on the money line.
Adam Schefter comes through with tickets to the Jets' first 4 opening training camp practices sold out this morning in 3 minutes.
That's hilarious.
The practices, first 4 practices, sold out in 3 minutes. 5 more practices will be made available in the coming days. So if you did miss out there, guys, you have 5 more chances to get in on watching Aaron Rodgers throw a few passes in practice. And who knows, maybe even get on Hard Knocks whenever they walk by and do the little pan of the practice. You might be able to make TV when it comes down to it. Talk some NFC South when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of sounds that you might hear. You could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. You could also hear the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral, because if you drive over the speed limit, you could do damage that's beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up to you. This is paid for by NHTSA. National Highway Traffic Safety Association. Kelly, I got to admit, this NFC South, I'm looking at it. I'm much more of an LSU guy than I'm a Saints guy. Everyone knows I'm from Louisiana, so it is what it is. Like, you basically are a Saints fan. You're born into that. But I'm more LSU than I am Saints. So I don't live and die by what happens with the Saints franchise or anything like that. And so you look, the Derek Carr stuff, he comes in. Now you find them as the betting favorite for this division, in a division which I actually think any one of the teams could end up winning. And I'm being dead on, even the Bucs. Like, I think the Bucs are, on paper, one of the worst teams in the NFL. But would it surprise me if Baker Mayfield channels some sort of something that looks at least decent on offense with a guy like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin? That wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. And again, I don't think that this division is crazy good at all. I actually think it's probably going to be the worst division in all the NFL. So you see the Saints with a win total, which I think is a little high, at 9.5, Falcons at 8.5, Panthers at 7.5, and then the Bucs are sitting at 6.5. If you look at the division odds, +120 for the Saints to take it down, 215 for the Falcons, 4-1 on the Panthers, and 8-1 on the Bucs. You don't want to bet any of these teams to win the conference, but if you do, 13-1 Saints, 28-1 Falcons, 40-1 on the Panthers, 45-1 on the Bucs, and then to win it all, 40-1 on the Saints, 60-1 on the Falcons, 70 on the Panthers, and then 80 on the Bucs. I am looking beyond the Saints. And when I look beyond the Saints, Kelly, it's mainly because I see a path for any of these teams to be mediocre and still win this division. I think there are many more things that can go wrong for the Saints than people are even kind of realizing. I mean, listen, yes, Chris Olave was awesome. No doubt about that. And we're just assuming there's going to be someone else there to come along for the ride, but that's not necessarily the case here. We know Alvin Kamara's already got his stuff that he's dealing with, though he did plead out and all that, and we'll see what ends up happening with that. Michael Thomas has not been healthy in a couple of different seasons now, so we don't really know what he looks like, if he's going to be a shell of what he used to be. That could certainly be the case maybe Desmond Ridder is actually good. Maybe this Falcons team with all of these skill position talents does actually take that next step. I mean, you've got Kyle Pitts, you've got Drake London, you just got Bijan Robinson. Maybe this Falcons team, if Desmond Ridder is at least league average, is good enough to win this division. What if Bryce Young steps in as a rookie and he can just play kind of at league average? You look around, the Panthers made moves this offseason, Kelly, that lead me to believe that they think that they can win this division. And if you don't go sign an Adam Thielen and a Miles Sanders and all this, like, those are not build towards the future with your young quarterback guys. Those are, hey, let's step in with some seasoned veteran dudes who, when we need to, can step up and maybe assist our rookie quarterback. But we think that that might be good enough to win this division. That's kind of what I saw anyway in the offseason moves from the Panthers. And I don't think that that's really all that far off. They've got a pretty good defense. And if Bryce Young is what we think Bryce Young could possibly be, they could win this division. I think that's well within the range of outcomes.
Yeah, that's kind of where I would lean to. If I don't think I'll have a bet in this division, but I don't think that there should be that big of a separation, at least between the Falcons and Panthers and what we're seeing on the odds for them to win that division. I think there's some people I respect that I know that are betting the Falcons this year in this division. I just don't fully get it. I think you're expecting a big leap forward from Desmond Ridder that we just really haven't seen.
Yeah.
And if you're asking me kind of blindly to bet on a Bryce Young or a Desmond Ridder, and if that's the big difference that you see between those two teams, like, I'm rolling with Bryce Young, I think, over Ridder going into this season, you know, despite him not having played a single down.
I mean, we're not talent scouts, but if you listen to the guys say he's as polished of a quarterback as we've seen in quite some time to come in and take over and be ready to lead a squad. And so what we have here basically, though, is – are these guys that we think are going to be good around him going to be good enough? Because they bring back in DJ Chark. And when DJ Chark actually has been healthy in the NFL, he's produced pretty well. The problem is he's been dealing with a ton of injuries all over the place. And so can he stay healthy for Bryce Young this year? They bring in Adam Thielen, who, under the radar, had a pretty decent little year last year. Didn't blow anybody away, but had a decent little year. And now you get the stuff coming out of camp. It's all roses and rainbows and unicorns coming out of camp this time of year. I get that. But that him and Adam Thielen have a real rapport. Adam Thielen, I think, is going to kind of play the safety blanket role there for this team. And that seems to be what we're hearing out of camp, that he might get a ton of targets here. They're all going to be super high percentage targets and super low ADOT targets. I mean, he might be running 4 yards and turning around, but that seems to be kind of the role that he's okay with playing here for Bryce Young. And then Terrace Marshall, if you don't remember Terrace Marshall, was awesome at LSU, second round pick for this team. And then really he got his rookie season, ended up getting hurt, didn't play for a few games, and then never really got in the swing of things over the last couple of years. That being said, again, it's all rainbows and unicorns right now, but apparently he's as healthy as he's ever been and looks really good working with Bryce Young. You have Miles Sanders in the background as well. And by the way, they brought in Hayden Hurst, who's had a lot of success. Granted, Joe Burrow was throwing him the ball over the last couple of seasons, but they bring in Hayden Hurst at the tight end position. You've got a pretty good offensive line. You have a pretty good defense as well, certainly at the linebacker position, safety position. One of your corners is really good. You're going to need a couple of these other guys to step up, and you have a defensive line that is at least league average to better than league average. So I actually put in our NFL betting guide, I put the Panthers actually as winning this division, and I don't think that that was me trying to get way out of line. You know, I mean, I think that if all these teams play to a baseline, I think the Panthers' baseline is about the same as where the Falcons or the Saints are. So I think the only team that is exponentially worse than the other three would be the Bucks. Yeah. And even then, you still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Baker Mayfield, who has a lot of experience in all that. If they don't end up selling off all the parts throughout the course of the year, would it surprise me if the Bucks were in the mix halfway through the season or three quarters of the season? It actually would not.
Yeah, because, I mean, their defense could be at least decent this year. I don't think they're going to be absolutely terrible. So, I'm with you. I think this division's very wide open. This would be probably of all the favorites, I'm trying to think, probably of all the favorites in any division in football, the least confident I would be in the Saints. I do think based off a roster, it makes sense why they're the favorites here, but I think we've seen this Saints team. I feel like we Like, that defense, I think, has to play out of this world for them to be really, really a contender in the NFC this year. I mean, Matt, if this team,
for sure,
if this team was in the AFC, we wouldn't even be talking to them as a playoff team, much less winning a division. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think this thing could end up being very, very wide open.
There is, and also, you know, let's just be honest. There's a non-zero chance that Derek Carr's bad. That he's just not good. His best days are behind him. We've seen his ceiling already, and that ceiling is not going to be, you know, come to light here with the Saints team. I mean, that is also a very real possibility. We're assuming Michael Thomas is going to be healthy. We're assuming all these different little things, and I think that a lot of that could end up biting us if you really want to buy into them. Now, the defense should be pretty solid for the Saints. They have some really good pieces, and Granderson and Jordan and May and Tyrann Mathieu. Like, they do have some really good pieces on that side of the ball. So I don't know if they're going to be getting blown out a ton, but I don't know if we think that they're going to be getting on the scoreboard a ton either. So I actually did go with the Panthers in this division. I haven't had a bet. We just had to make our official picks right in the betting guide. I don't have a bet in there on the Panthers yet, and that is a yet because, I don't know, maybe I can dig a little bit deeper, and certainly as the training camp reports continue to come out, maybe something will actually push me to put something in the account.
Yeah, I'm same thing here. I think that would be my pick of who's going to win this division based off of the odds. It would be Panthers. I don't know that I'm going to end up exactly with a bet, just because I think there are, when we talk about all these teams, I think there's a lot of wide-ranging outcomes of what we could see with these teams this season. I don't think any of them are really threatened to win the NFC or anything like that, but as far as where they're at, bottom dwellers to, you know, a average to slightly above average teams, I think there's a lot of wide-ranging outcomes with all four of these teams.
Absolutely. And again, like, I'm not discounting the Falcons. You said a lot of people are betting the Falcons. Yeah. I actually get it, right? Because you have the skill position players. It's just so much depends on Desmond Ridder taking that next step, right? I mean, like, we need Desmond Ridder to make a vast improvement in, you know, look, you go to Pro Football Focus, we understand, is not like the end-all, be-all to everything, but they do watch every single play of every single game and grade these players out. And Desmond Ridder was one of the absolute worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year. Now, you know, he growing pains, et cetera, I get all of that. But he was going to have to take a really big step, and I'm just not willing to assume that he's going to be able to do that. And you spend a very high draft pick on a Bijan Robinson, and that also leads me to believe you almost have to use him a ton. And in today's NFL, if you're not passing the ball, if you're not getting chunk plays and stuff, like, you're going to eventually pay for it. And I think that's something that we're kind of looking at as well, Kelly. So I don't know. I division is up for grabs. Give me the Panthers. You know what? I'm going to bet them, Kelly. I'm going to do it. Let's just put it in the account. Whenever we look at some baseball here on the other side when we come back. Numbers game on a Monday.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to VSiN.com/picks page. Sort by sport, matchup, event date, even more. Check out the VSiN Experts leaderboard. You can see the betting records and profit and ROI and see which VSiN experts have the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. $19 over at VSiN.com/subscribe. So we are wrapping up our NFC South talk here. And if you want to look rosy towards the Tampa Bay Bucs, you at least have a quarterback that has a lot of NFL experience, which cannot be said for the Panthers, which cannot be said for the Falcons. So you have a leg up, at least in that department, on two of the teams you're going up against. You have two of the better wide receivers in the NFL, and I think that gives you a leg up on pretty much every other team in the division because, again, we don't know what Michael Thomas is going to look like. Olave was great. We don't know what Michael Thomas is going to look like. We have zero idea what Terrace Marshall even is in the NFL, and DJ Chark has had a lot of injuries as well, so we know that that's not the case. And sure, you do have Drake London. You can count Kyle Pitts, I guess, as a wide receiver, even though he's a tight end, but certainly from a traditional wide receiver standpoint, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin would be the best two in the division. So experienced quarterback with two really good wide receivers. Russell Gage, by the way, not that bad out of the slot. Like he's he's fine. Russell Gage, he's all right. Rashad White is going to take over in the backfield. Lenny Fournette is still looking for a team out there. You have Tristan Wirfs at left tackle, so at least the blind side of Baker Mayfield is going to be protected and protected well. Tristan Wirfs, one of the best left tackles in all of the NFL. And then if you look on the defensive side, there are actually some guys that can still play. Now, will these guys eventually over the course of the season get sold off for parts? Now, that we don't know because the Bucs went about the same. Bucs went about it the same way the Rams did. They went all in to win a Super Bowl. They got it. And but now they're kind of paying for it, right? I mean, not a ton of picks to kind of refill the cupboard, and then some of these guys are getting a little bit of age, on them. But listen, Neal, Winfield, Dean, let's see. I mean, even Levante David, like all these guys are still playing at a fairly high level on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't think that it is all bad news for the Bucs. But Kelly, listen, there are going to be teams that are going to be making phone calls at some point in the season to see what Mike Evans might cost, what Chris Godwin might cost, what, you know, what a David might cost. Like, they're going to be getting calls, and Tampa Bay is going to have to make a decision at some point in the season. Is this a complete rebuild, or are we going to try and salvage here in, again, what is a very still wide open division in our opinion? And both of us think this about this division. Like, none of these teams seem to be head and shoulders above the other ones. How long do they hold on with all these guys as well? So the Bucs are more of a fascinating kind of team for me because I think that they are going to have to at some point really kind of sit down and have a talking about, hey, are we going after this, or are we going to go ahead and punt?
Yeah, and that's I think you're going to see. We talked about Tennessee Titans obviously earlier in the show. I think that's a question mark for both of those teams. At some point this year, they're just going to do it in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. It's more of a youth movement going on in Tennessee, and in Tampa right now, you're kind of at the beginning of that, of trying to figure out what are you going to be the next few years. And yes, if it's hitting the reset button, it probably means shipping off some of those veteran players that you can get something back for right now. Still, I don't know about you. They're a team seemingly. I don't know if I believe they're going to win this division. Yes, they're the bottom dweller. I know we talked about how wide open we think this division is. I do think they are like, if they finish second in this division, I probably wouldn't be shocked. I think I'm a little bit surprised if they did go out and win this thing. Kind of the same thing, like I would say about the Saints. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they don't win this thing. I don't know if I see them falling further than like third in that division. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they're going to be the absolute bottom dwellers. So I think you're probably going to see some of these pieces get traded away at some
point. Yeah. To me, and this is strictly just opinion, I think they'll be sellers. I think this needs to be a complete rebuild because, again, Mike Evans is not his value is never going to be higher than it is basically every single day fourth in this season, because he's one of those guys getting older. Certainly his value and what you get back in return is going to continue to diminish the older and longer this drags out. So I think you do have to start looking and saying, guys, we're a little bit on longer in the tooth here. What can we get back for this guy and this guy? Do we get a pick? Do we get some players? Do we get some youth? Do we get whatever it might be? I think that the Bucks probably have to come to that decision at some point, but who knows? A lot can change color if they look up and they're 4-2 or something,
totally,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if they're, you know, if they're 5-2 or at some point, then maybe they're going to have to look at this thing a little bit differently. Over on the diamond, we talked to Paul Spohr a little bit earlier today. He had not really dug in, didn't really have any plays, but we can run through what we're looking at anyway. Dodgers and the Orioles going at it. Emmett Sheehan is going for the Dodgers, and then the Orioles have recalled Grayson Rodriguez, one of the best pitching prospects in the minors. Got a cup of coffee a little bit earlier. Didn't have the best luck for the Orioles, but they are calling him back up to make this start. By the way, welcome back. You get the Dodgers. -120 for the Orioles at home here over the Dodgers. Even money, 9.5 is your total there. Guardians and the Pirates. Xavien Curry for the Guardians, and then Quinn Priester for the Pirates. I wish I could tell you anything about either one of these dudes. I cannot. It is -120 for the Guardians and Curry. Even money for the Pirates and Priester, 9.5 is your total there. Giants and the Reds. Logan Webb is going for the Giants. We got Brandon Williamson going for the Reds. Logan Webb and the Giants are -145 road favorites here over this Reds team, +125 at home for them. An over-under of 10. Logan Webb has been absolutely fantastic for this Giants squad over the last month and a half. See why they are the favorite that they are, even with the Reds being at home. in this lineup. Very curious as to what Brandon Williamson can do with his Giants lineup, see if he can keep them in contention here. Marlins and the Cardinals. Jesus Luzardo, Miles Michaelis. This is 110 on both sides. Complete coin flip, 8.5 is your total there. McClanahan back for the Rays today. Shane McClanahan, if you are a Rays backer, this is good news for you. He's back on the hill against Dane Dunning in the Rangers. With that, he's a minus 125 road favorite over this Rangers team, plus 105 if you want the home underdog. 9 is your total. This Rays team, we did get into this a little bit with Paul, and, you know, listen, do the Rays have staying power? Really and truly what it's going to come down to is can a guy like McClanahan continue to take the bump every 5 days? Because you can only withstand so many injuries in baseball. And I understand the Rays have a massive amount of talent and young talent, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. So you need a guy like McClanahan. You need that true frontline starter, especially when we get to the playoffs, right, when these rotations shrink and you need that guy that can go out and get you 6-7 innings and hold the team at bay. Well, we'll see if Shane McClanahan can continue that as he makes his return from the IL against the Rangers today. Nationals and the Cubs. This is Mackenzie Gore and Drew Smyly. Smiling, the Cubs minus 145, home favorites, plus 125 with Gore and the Nationals. Matt Manning is going for the Tigers today. Jordan Lyles for the Royals. Tigers 130, minus 130 road favorites over the Royals, plus 110 at home. Luis Severino and the Yankees are going to take on the Angels. Griffin Canning is a minus 130 favorite here, actually, over Luis Severino and the Yankees, plus 110 if you want the Yankees on the road. 9 is your total there. Twins and the Mariners. Sonny Gray, Logan Gilbert. Good pitching matchup in this one. Gilbert and the Mariners, minus 135. Home favorites, plus 115 for Gray and the Twins. Just 7.5 total in this one. Sonny Gray, been really, really good for this Twins team. Hit a little bit of a rough patch, but again, most of the underlying numbers back up what Sonny Gray has done so far this season for this Twins team. Final first pitch of the evening, Red Sox and the A's, to be determined who's going to be on the hill for those teams in that one. So that's what we're looking over in Major League Baseball. And of course, if you guys are looking for what any of the other people are playing today over at VSiN.com, you can go to the picks page. It'll be listed for all the baseball bets that end up getting inserted throughout the course of the day today.
Plus Adam Burke's daily article, which is
rundown like top to bottom of every single thing that's going on with all that. Kelly, final minute and a half of this segment, so I do want to circle back around to the big topic that, again, me and Paul talked about, that I think is something that we're going to hear just a ton over the next week, is what's going to happen with Shohei Ohtani. And you start to look at some of these other teams and what it would actually mean. And the Dodgers are already one of your favorites to win the World Series. So if he ends up with the Dodgers, it's not going to change it too much for them. Certainly the odds are going to change. Certainly they're going to become a shorter shot, but it doesn't like drastically move the number for them. They're already at 550. They're the second shot as it is anyway, right? So they just come a little bit closer to the Braves. The Blazers are plus 340.
Does it happen or not?
But you start to look at some of these other teams and you wonder what these odds might. Well, you start to look at some of these other teams and wonder what that might mean for the number for them, right? And that is what gets really interesting. Some of these other teams like, that we know have gigantic budgets. The Yankees, for example, are sitting 18-1. What does Shohei mean to those odds? Is it worth putting a ticket in on a flyer right now? Or maybe do you want to play, like Paul and I were talking about, do you want to play one of these longer shot MVP guys right now? Because if he gets traded out of the AL, it puts that thing wide open yet again. And so a guy that's sitting 30-1 today, if Shohei moves, he ain't going to be 30-1 when that happens.
Okay, two things real quick. If you're over at DraftKings, there's a field option. Shohei versus the field in MVP. So I think if you're interested in that, that could be a way to go as well, 5-1. Yankees, is that one you'd be interested in making a bet in? I've heard people interested in making a division bet there even without Shohei.
I mean, listen, you get a 1-2 punch of Garrett Cole and then Shohei come playoff time, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch on the hill for sure. We'll put a bow on this episode with a little bit of open talk when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashed the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert those BetMGM points into MGM reward points that you can use towards dining shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties up and down the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up at BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with the BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of age or older. New and existing customers can do this. Offer all promotions subject to qualification, eligibility requirements, rewards issued. Non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire after 7 days of issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Crush that, Reed.
Boom.
Just went right through that one. That one's a mouthful, but boy, just crushed that one.
You did, man. It's a lot. It would take me 4 minutes to do that one.
Crushed that one, went right through it.
Let me repeat myself. It has taken me 4 minutes to do that one.
Didn't even skip a big chunk, which sometimes those super long ones, I'll just skip a chunk and just let's get to the point. Let's get to the point of the read, but every word that time. Good on me. It is Matt Brown filling in for Gil, last segment here on a Monday of a numbers game. And Kelly, let's go ahead and get an early look here at the Open. And if you were living under a rock, you don't know. Actually, you don't have to be living under a rock because it was hard to watch. It was hard to find. Rory McIlroy coming off of a win at the Scottish Open. Now we head over, and this is a very true Lynx golf course. So what we got last week was Lynx style golf course. It was kind of a modern Lynx course. It played like Lynx, but not like we're going to see this week for sure. And so now what we're getting into is a course that is right on the water. Any sort of wind is going to be felt. There's absolutely nothing that is going to be blocking wind from hitting the Royal Liverpool Golf Club at all. So if it happens to pick up a lot, then we are going to see some kind of craziness going on for sure. The way that this course is set up, Kelly, which is, I think, is pretty interesting. I did the little flyovers that you can get at Golf Digest. And by the way, if you're a golf geek, if you're, you know, golf nerd, Golf Digest does these flyovers pretty much every one of the major tournaments and stuff. And you get to really get a look at these holes and how they're going to look for the pros out there and how they're going to play. And it's a really valuable tool. I even think from a betting aspect, even though we're not professional golfers and all that, it does give you an idea of kind of what they're going to be going at. And one of the things that really stood out to me with all of this is just, you know, there are true hazards on this course, even though there aren't going to be, there aren't trees or whatever. Like, there's these huge pot bunkers that are out there that, depending on where they land inside of these bunkers, Kelly, it could be a penalty stroke. It could play as a penalty stroke. You might not be able to get a shot out of them other than just chipping out and having to kind of take your medicine. So it could be a true penalty stroke. Again, if you're up on the face of these, if you're further back, they'll be able to play out of them. But I mean, if you're up towards the front, you're not going to have an option of trying to play a real shot after that. And that is where they have lined up these deals, which I think is really, really cool. If you go, it's kind of in the drivable zone for a lot of these guys. And so they put these bunkers to where if you're offline, it's right about the 280-ish to 305-ish mark, which if you know the tour, that's where a lot of these guys are driving it, you know, kind of in that realm. And so if you're off target, you're going to end up in one of these bunkers, man. And like, it's going to be really, really tough to get out of there without, you know, having to take your medicine again and taking a penalty stroke, basically. And so, look, I'm super happy about this course. Not a lot of course history for us here. It's only the third time that we've gotten to this course in the modern era. So, you know, look, it's not a lot that we can pull from here. Last time they were here, most of these guys on tour weren't born yet. Right, like there's so many young guys. So, like, most of these guys weren't even, you know, out of diapers yet. So not a lot to pull from that aspect. But certainly a course we have seen before, and we can at least kind of guess how it's going to play.
So you're ahead of me a little bit on prep for this week. Mm-hmm. So are you expecting where some of these guys are going to have to club down off the tee where some of those bunkers are placed at?
So length is – we say this every week on Long Shots, like, length is always a bonus, but certainly carry length is going to be massive this week. You're still going to have accuracy because if you do miss, there is like a lot of fescue and stuff that you can get into that could end up causing trouble. But like I said, if these pot bunkers are kind of in that 270 to 280 ish mark, if you can carry that, which we know the longest of the longer guys are carrying that, they don't need the rollout. That's why we've talked so much about how the game has changed, because it's height off the tee now is everything, which seems counterintuitive to what we would think would happen at an Open. And certainly if the wind comes into play, they're not going to be able to do that. They're going to have to do something different.
Two irons.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be two irons coming into play, seriously. But if we don't have a ton of wind, the longer guys are going to be able to carry these. And so that takes it out of play for them. The guys that are just average length to where like carrying it 290 isn't necessarily just every time. Like they're not
Brian Harmon.
They're not just going to be able to carry it 290 every single time. It's going to put these bunkers real into play and could get real interesting with all of that. And so if we take a look at what I'm the type of player that I'm kind of looking for here, Kelly, it's going to be very diverse. And I'm because you can't bomb and gouge this course. Like it's just not going to happen. Yeah. So if you think that those type of guys, length and accuracy is always a bonus. We could say that every single week. So like, yes, you're going to like, yeah, no joke. I get it. Right. Yes. Length and accuracy this week though is going to be really, really massive. So long as the wind doesn't go absolutely nuts. If the wind goes absolutely nuts, I don't know exactly what type of player is going to succeed here. It's probably going to be the dude that's the most creative and the guy that can kind of make the biggest adjustments on the fly. And we've seen,
And hit your putts, right?
Yeah. So here's the deal. So if you follow any of these golfers on Instagram or if you follow, Twitter, whatever the social media of preference, Threads, whatever, if you're on Threads, Kelly, are you threading, by the way? Are you?
No, I was all jazzed up about it last week. I was about to hop on there and I was like, wait a second, am I really going to like,
listen, you
got to
secure
places?
Kelly Bidlin at least. So that's the thing. So you've got to at least go secure. Cause what if it wins? Like you can't be left out if it ends up winning. So you at least know, go secure your name on the Threads and then we'll go for that. I'm on the Threads. I've not threaded yet. Not one time.
Okay. So you locked down a name.
I just locked it in.
Did you get at Matt Brown? You still missed out. You like 17 at Matt Brown. 17.
Dude, by the time I got in, they already had like 1.5 million users or whatever. Like, even though I thought I was kind of early, like everyone was
so
flooding to the three.
Yeah. At Matt Brown,
no,
you were
so,
so
excited. I had to add the M2 at the end again. Yeah, had to add the M2 at the end again. So I know it's ridiculous. It sucks, but anyway, over on the Threads. But what they will do though, from time to time, and so they work on stingers like they really love to post hitting stingers just because they look cool. Like right, it's an awesome video. I'll admit it's an awesome. It looks cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
But they do work on these things, right? I mean, it's not like this is like, oh, they're going to have to hit a completely different type of shot. And this is something that's not really in their bag. Like these dudes go out there and they work on this stuff. And so these guys all have stingers in their bag. My guess is that some of them are exponentially better at it than others. And certainly from an accuracy standpoint, some are probably way more accurate with them than others, but they all got it. So I'm not really all that concerned either with stuff. I mean, listen, we just saw Rory win last week and the concern with Rory is like, he hits the ball too high. You know, the whole thing about Rory is like, he has one of the highest apexes of any of the players on tour with how he hits the ball. He was able to make an adjustment and go out and change the way that he plays. Like these guys are awesome. Right. I mean, like they're going to be able to figure it out.
Especially with those guys that are powerful, they're going to be powerful regardless. You know what I mean? Like whether it's, changing clubs like we saw him do or changing shot type, that power is still going to help them drive through the wind. So I'm going to throw a couple at you real quick.
Yeah.
Yay or nay on some drifters here. Yay or nay on John Rahm at 13+1. Yay or nay on Justin Thomas, 80-1 or more.
Oh, boy. Justin Thomas at 80.
80 is where we're seeing him at now.
Listen, I have two bets in the account already. I took Ricky like 3 weeks ago, so I got it like 30. I got it like 37 on Ricky. He's down to 20 at a lot of places.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I mean, he's been incredibly consistent or whatever. I did put in a Burns at 100.
Yeah, you did. He looked good last week.
But 100. Yeah. On Sam Burns, like, a proven multi-time winner, right? Like, I did put in a Burns at 100.
He's 60 at DK right now.
A JT at 80 is pretty interesting. I guess we just have to ask ourselves, Kelly, and we will do this certainly later today whenever we do our kind of early preview, and then certainly you guys, whenever you're doing the full long shots, is what is his win equity in this field? Like, what do we honestly feel like his win equity is in this field with the way that he's been playing and the way that the other guys have been playing? Because that's the other thing. It's not even necessary that JT has been drifting away. It's like some of these guys are on the real big upswing. So it's kind of like a double drift here. And so,
but what a roller coaster season for Jason Day, who's now 120-1 for this turn. Holy hell.
Yeah. It's so incredibly wild. And I'm just, you know, I'm looking forward to really, really digging in into all of this. But, man, I think short game is probably going to play a lot for me this week because I think they're going to be in weird positions. That's just my initial guess. We will run through our models and all of that, of course, over on Long Shots and Barty Line up next. Thanks for sticking around here on VSiN.